Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an Odyssey original.
This is Coronavirus Daily, World on Pause. I'm Charles Feldman from the KNX Odyssey Studios in Los Angeles.
And I'm Mike Simpson. The president laid out a big goal not too long ago, said he wanted 70% of adults in the country to have at least one vaccine by the 4th of July. Looks like we're not going to meet the goal. About 64% have gotten that one dose, at least, so far.
Also factor in that the vaccination rate keeps dropping because demand for the vaccine is down. So we'll look into whether we can get to herd immunity.
If you've been vaccinated, your private, personal, and medical information in the hands of the Pentagon, is that a good thing?
Let's start with the president's vaccine goal. Dr. Gregory Poland is director of the Vaccine Research Group. That's at the Mayo Clinic. Doctor, how much does it really matter if we get, 64% of adults versus 70? And when you add in those who had natural infections, aren't we up there anyway?
You know, Charles, you're exactly right. And that's how I feel, too. We're talking about a goal, which is a good thing to have in regards to vaccines. We've got probably 30 plus states that are not going to reach the goal of a 70% vaccination rate, which means we've got, an appreciable number that will. But when you look at the idea of herd immunity, which is why that rough 70% was chosen, you really have to add in those who have been immunized plus those who have been infected. And I think when you consider that, we will be there.
How sure are we about how long natural immunity lasts versus the vaccine, though? I mean, will we see people who didn't get the vaccine but had COVID a few months back end up getting COVID again, since it's still going to be out there? I mean, this we know. It's going to circulate because that's what it does until you completely snuff it out, and we're not going to completely snuff it out.
Well, that's right, Mike. And, when you look at, for example, a study that was done by the CDC looking from January to April, there had been about 101 million vaccinees. They detected 10,000 breakthrough cases. Okay. That's a really small fraction. And most of those are going to be people who had immunosuppression, underlying comorbidities, et cetera. So by definition, we don't know how long this will go. We're not even at, a year and a half yet in terms of infection, not even at a year for those who have been vaccinated. So what will happen is there'll be a very close eye kept on whether we're starting to see more and more breakthrough infections. And if so, are they in people who have been previously infected but not immunized, or in vaccinees? And that will determine what the next step is, for example, a booster dose.
And that actually raises an interesting question in terms of timing. And I was wondering about that the other day. So, at what point does a decision have to be made whether or not people who have been vaccinated need to have a booster shot? Because if you all of a sudden announce, say, September 1st, that, we've decided that everyone needs a booster shot now, well, then we're kind of right back where we started from, with trying to get a whole bunch of people in a short period of time to get booster shots.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I'm going to give you my opinion, which will be to some degree divergent from the opinion you would get from CDC or public health. What they tend to do is give a population level recommendation because it's a one size fits all. It's easy. What I think we would be better to do is follow the science. In other words, young, healthy people are very unlikely to lose immunity after infection or vaccine inside of a year. An elderly, more frail person or somebody who's immunocompromised because of underlying disease or medications they take, they might lose immunity within a year. The other aspect of this, and still somewhat unknown, is this is a race between vaccine and variants. The more infections that occur, the more mutations, the greater the chance that the virus will learn how to escape previous immunity, whether it's from vaccine or previous infection.
I'm wondering for, you know, younger, healthier people who haven't gotten the shot yet, if there was a way to tell them, hey, you know, this isn't an every year thing, two shots every year. It's every 5 years. Maybe it's a decade shot. That would be great news. And then maybe in their head it goes, oh, okay, that I can do. I'll go get that. I don't have to worry about this for a long time instead of thinking I have to go get a Pfizer shot every year and get two of them for the next 3 years.
I like that, Mike. And I think you're likely to be right, as a matter of fact. I think when we're talking about young, healthy people who get the vaccine, they're going to have long-lasting immunity. Now, one thing that's confusing to people, they think of immunity as antibody levels, and those are important. But we also have another arm of immunity called T cells or cellular immunity, which also are important. So I think we're going to find out, this is speculation, we haven't been 2, 3, 4, 5 years yet. I think we're going to find out in young, healthy people who get the vaccine, which raises very high antibody levels, they're going to be protected for some years. How many years? We don't know yet.
Well, and one quick question, because we're going to run out of time. Do you have to wait 5 years to find out whether or not it lasts 5 years?
In a sense, you do. We can measure antibody levels, but T cell immunity is much more difficult and much more difficult to standardize and measure. So in fact, I think we're going to have to either know a correlate of protection like antibody, or we're going to have to wait and see and say, okay, at what time spread or with what biologic marker can we say people are now at risk?
Dr. Gregory Poland, director of the Vaccine Research Group at the Mayo Clinic.
Coming up after this short break, can the government be trusted with our medical information? The huge effort to vaccinate tens of millions of Americans involves collecting the personal and medical information of people getting the shots. Of course, that's raising privacy concerns.
It has people wondering how well protected the registries are, concerned that the government has access to all this information. Can public health agencies and even the military be trusted with all that? Dr. Michelle Mello, professor of law, medicine, the Stanford Law School. So, doctor, let's just start with the basics. Where is all the data and is it safe?
Sure. So for decades, states across the country have maintained immunization registries. They are usually used for childhood vaccines, but anytime you get a vaccine, you will be asked whether you mind your information being shared in your state's immunization registry. And unless you opt out, which most people don't, the information goes in there. And the COVID vaccine isn't any different.
Although, did they ask people if they wanted to opt out for the COVID vaccine? I know a lot of people who got it, and I don't know of anyone who was asked if they can opt out.
I seem to remember my button on CVS said I could, but then again, I could be making that up right now, so I don't know.
I mean, do you know?
Are you asking me? Yeah, so this is part of the, by law, there's a section of the California Health and Safety Code that gives people the ability to have a privacy notice that's distributed at the point of care and, again, to affirmatively opt out. If you do nothing, you're presumptively in the database.
Okay, so my info is there, unless I've said no. What happens with that info? Am I sure that it's protected? Because then we get into other things, like if we're going to have passports, and then if you've got to check in with the consort for your vaccine. And this is now a whole bunch of places instead of just the one place.
So it's important to know that the health and safety code in California makes this information very securely protected, arguably even more so than other kinds of healthcare information. It specifically names the types of organizations that can query this database and get access to it and the purposes for which they can query it. And those parties are limited to federal, state, and local health officials doing public health surveillance work, schools and child cares that have to enforce immunization requirements, other agencies, as are allowed by other laws, like foster care systems that have to make sure that kids are vaccinated, and the WIC program, where vaccination is an important part of their health program, insurers that are being billed for these vaccines, and healthcare providers who sign an agreement with the California Department of Public Health pledging to keep this information confidential. So it's highly protected, and it's certainly not the case that an airline or a concert venue could simply call up the California Department of Health and figure out if you're in the database.
No, but if I go through just in the past year, the numbers of companies that have been hacked, almost all of whom said prior to being hacked that the information they had was secure, the list is quite voluminous. So how do we know that the guarantees of data security are going to actually happen?
Well, let's keep two important concepts separate in our minds. One is confidentiality and privacy, and that's what I've been talking about. The law says who is permitted to access this database and what purposes they are permitted to access it for. Then there's security. That refers to protection of data against unauthorized uses. And any database, of course, is vulnerable to hacking. The more sensitive the information in the database, the more we want to be careful that adequate security safeguards are in place. State and federal security laws require these databases to keep adequate protections. But as we know as consumers, no database is completely safe. That doesn't stop us from storing all other aspects of our health information in electronic health records.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, we've said it before on this show, right? The security aspect, the second one. We can all probably assume that anyone and anything can be hacked at any time. So they know what toothpaste I use. They probably know everything else about me, too. Why do you think this one maybe is a bit more touch and go than other aspects of privacy, though? We mentioned at the outset that this has become so political for so many people.
Yeah, I think vaccinations in general are very political. We usually don't hear about these concerns because they're usually only sensitive and political for a very tiny fraction of the population, you know, just a 1-2% of people who are really strongly resistant to getting vaccines. And for the rest of us, you know, we go about our business, we get our vaccines, we stay healthy, and we don't worry too much about it. This time, the group of people who are concerned about getting this vaccine is a little bit larger, not because it's less safe, but because the issue has been politicized. The other factor in play, I think, is that you know, public health in general is a kind of a while you were sleeping field. There's a lot of work that goes on in the background of our everyday lives that is invisible to us. And it is invisible to us because most of the time it works. It keeps disease at bay and we can go about our lives. You know, vaccination is an enormous success story. So most people have simply never had cause to think about this registry before. And now because reporters have sort of highlighted this aspect as being connected to the lotteries, people are hearing about it for the first time.
Dr. Michelle Mello, professor of law and medicine at the Stanford Law School. Doctor, thanks.
Washington State trying to one-up New Jersey and Buffalo, New York, when it comes to vaccine incentives. New Jersey and Buffalo have offered free beer to people who get vaccinated, but Washington is now giving out free pot. The promotion is called Joints for Jabs. Anyone who gets their first or second shot can go to any state-licensed pot shop and get one free pre-rolled joint. Of course, you have to be 21 and older. Washington is not the only state to get creative for people to receive a COVID-19 vaccine. In Arizona, a cannabis dispensary is handing out free pre-rolled joints and gummy edibles in exchange for getting vaccinated.
This is an Odyssey original. You can find us on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.